So, I guess there's a lot of work to be done to win these people back. Or at the very least, to make a case that there's a liberalism which isn't just cucking for the right. That classical liberalism is just a fraud. You can't be a liberal and also proclaim as a statement of your political beliefs and ideology that people of color are racially inferior in intellectual ability. You
Exactly.
can't do that. You can't be a liberal and then claim that inequality is just or something like that.
On a recent stream, Kraut and T argued that one cannot be a liberal and assert the inherent inequality between human beings. This is emphatically untrue because liberalism starts with the recognition of property rights. Everyone now recognises the advantages of the division of labour that Adam Smith championed in the 18th century. But you cannot have the division of labour without first recognising that all aspects of nature are unequal. Here's Ludwig von Mises on this. Historically, the division of labour originates in two facts of nature: the inequality of human abilities and the variety of the external conditions of human life on Earth. These two facts are really one: the diversity of nature. Here's Thomas Sowell on the same point, writing almost 100 years later. Neither in nature nor among human beings are either equal or randomly distributed outcomes automatic. On the contrary, grossly unequal distributions of outcomes are common, both in nature and among people. In circumstances where neither genes nor discrimination are involved, the idea that it would be a level playing field if it were not for either genes or discrimination is a preconception in defiance of both logic and facts. This hard, cold fact of inequality in nature and among human beings as part of nature is called the law of differentiation. The law of association, sometimes called Ricardo's law of comparative advantage, depends on the law of differentiation to function. In other words, if everyone was the same, there'd be no reason to trade or to own property. But in any case, even if we could equalize people in terms of their land holdings or their resources, within a year or so, we'd be back to square one because of their other inherent inequalities. As Adam Smith's predecessor, the great Richard Cantillon, put it in 1730, when Rome was first settled, each inhabitant was given 2 acres of land. Nevertheless, this did not prevent as great an inequality soon afterwards in the ownerships of estates as seen today across the states of Europe. One inhabitant may have several children and thus be unable to leave each of them an equal portion of the land similar to his own. Another may die childless and leave his portion to someone who has none. A third may be lazy, prodigal, or infirm, and will be obliged to sell his portion to someone else who, through his frugality and industry, will continually increase his lands by buying more land, which he will then develop through the work of those who, being landless, will be obliged to offer their labour in order to subsist. David Hume, another great liberal thinker and a best friend of Adam Smith's, likewise started his defence of property rights by rejecting egalitarianism as an impossibly utopian idea, which is in contradiction to human nature. He does this through a blistering attack on the mid-17th century agrarian socialist group, the Diggers, also known as the True Levellers. Perhaps the Levellers, who claimed an equal distribution of property, were a kind of political fanatics which arose from the religious species. But historians and even common sense may inform us that, however specious these ideas of perfect equality may seem, they really are, at bottom, impracticable. And were they not so, would be extremely pernicious to human society. Render men's possessions ever so equal, men's different degrees of art, care, and industry will immediately break that equality. Or, if you check these virtues, you reduce society to the most extreme indignance, and instead of preventing want and beggary in a few render it unavoidable to the whole community. For whom the situation is so unstable as to require constant government intervention to watch over every inequality on its first appearance and the most severe jurisdiction to punish and redress it so that authority must soon degenerate into tyranny. Here a writer in the mid-18th century foresaw the brutality and totalitarianism that would emerge in various socialist regimes in the 20th century as generations of intellectuals captured by the false allure of egalitarianism failed to appreciate this simple but undoubtedly true insight offered by Hume and Cantillon. They saw it as Crouch and Tea seemingly cannot. Another precondition for property rights, according to Hume, is the fact of scarcity. He asks us to imagine a world of superabundance, something like the Garden of Eden, in which every individual finds himself fully provided with whatever his most vicarious appetites can want. Why call this object mine when seizing of it by another? I need stretch out my hand to possess myself of what is equally valuable. Under such conditions, the need for property rights obviously could never arise. So, you see, liberals have no issue with inequality per se, but rather fight against the injustices of a ruling class pressing its advantage by using the levers of government artificially to produce inequalities through interventionist mechanisms such as inflation or monopoly privileges or regulations. This is the inequality of caste. The artificial inequalities of wealth resulting from state actions as distinct from the inequalities resulting from free action. And that, Crouch and Tea, is liberalism, not some egalitarian, left-wing, modern liberal pipe dream. Egalitarianism is a revolt against human nature, and the true classical liberal steps over it. Now get out.